The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I always love having David Yeskel on the podcast because the cruise guru always fills us in on so many new things happening in the cruise industry, plus so many great deals. And why don't we start off, David, if you would, give a plug for your Twitter account, because that's really the best place for people to follow all the stuff that you have going on in the cruise world.
Sure, great. Yeah, it's the Cruise Guru, so it's easy to search me. I'm the Cruise Guru on Twitter.
And I'm going to point out a couple things that I found, okay? And we'll talk about we'll get to all these later, but in more depth. But first of all, there's like a water slide on the Norwegian Bliss cruise line. It's so, I mean, I've never seen anything like this. It literally goes out over the edge of the ship and then back into the ship.
Yeah, this is a cool new ship that just launched this month, and it's actually, it's got water slides on the top deck. The whole top deck is like an amusement park, frankly. It's got a two-level go-kart track. That's first in the industry. Never before has anybody done anything like this.
A go-kart track?
A go-kart track on the top deck of the ship, two-level, plus the water slides that go over the, you know, over the side of the ship and come back, and even a laser tag course. So this is a crazy new ship, and believe it or not, this is the first cruise ship designed expressly for Alaska. So it's going to start out the year in Alaska this summer. And there's a 180-degree observation lounge near the top of the ship for great viewing. So you wouldn't necessarily think go-kart tracks in Alaska. But when the ship's in the Caribbean, people will be making more use of the go-kart track, of course. And it's got features that are great for both the Caribbean and Alaska. So it's really a great design.
Now, these Alaskan cruises, are they mainly for the summer? Or do they go late into the fall, sometimes into the winter? How does that work with Norwegian Bliss?
Yeah, so the Norwegian Bliss will kind of follow the same schedule that most other lines do in Alaska, and that is May through September. So early season, best deals are really found in May or September. Those are the coldest months typically for Alaskan cruising, but typically the best deals are found then. And the warmer temperatures, of course, are in middle of the season, July and August. But temperatures can range anywhere from the 40s up to, you know, even the low 70s. So it's a wide range of temps, but that's really the season, May through September.
Well, what I like about the cruise industry, and you always touch on this, is you can do anything from budget travel and get amazing vacations for an incredible price, or you can go the other end now with, as you call it, luxury expedition cruising.
Yeah, so this is something, this is like the hottest trend in the cruise industry right now, luxury expedition cruising. This marriage of luxury travel and expedition cruising was really inconceivable as little as 5 years ago. So prior to this, expedition cruising was, you know, obviously for people who want to get up close to nature a little more, maybe see penguins in Antarctica or sail or drop onto a remote beach in Costa Rica. And that was great, but then you'd come back to some older, rusty ship where they maybe fed and watered you twice a day.
Yes.
But you didn't exactly have creature comforts. So the luxury cruise lines are kind of moving into this market. So, and it was perfectly, I have a perfect example. I was on a Windstar cruise in Costa Rica and Panama recently. So they're moving into this luxury expedition cruising. So this 200-passenger ship I was on, Windstar calls it a power yacht, with almost a one-to-one crew-to-passenger ratio. So very high-touch service, personalized service. And in Costa Rica and Panama, they swap out the ship's tenders, you know, the lifeboats they usually use to take people from ship to shore, for Zodiacs. So they take everybody to shore on these inflatable Zodiacs. And because of that, they can land you on beaches called wet landings on beaches where there's no pier, no dock, you know, off the beaten path destinations, places that larger ships couldn't get into. So it allows them access to just about anywhere. And so you jump off the Zodiac right onto the beach or, you know, in a few inches of water maybe. But it's not exactly roughing it because waiting for you on the beach is the crew with towels to help you wipe the sand off your feet. They have drinks and snacks there. So it's not exactly like a marine amphibious landing. You're really well taken care of. But you get these spontaneous wildlife sightings. And we're in this national park in Quepos, Costa Rica, called Manuel Antonio National Park.
Uh-huh.
And all around, there's this biodiversity. There were monkeys, sloths, raccoons all around us. And just the ability to get into these smaller ports and exotic places is really what expedition cruising is all about. And then back on board, we stayed in these all-suite accommodations, marble bathrooms, walk-in closets. The Windstar just has a fairly recent affiliation with the James Beard Foundation. So this is a culinary arts organization dedicated to fine cuisines. So you're in the dining room in the evening eating this gourmet food and with this high-touch passenger service, and it's this perfect combination. It is luxury expedition cruising. And I kind of call it, a good way to describe it is, on Windstar, I thought, was adventure by day and indulgence by night.
Oh, wow. They should pay you for that. That's Well, you know what? And this is another reason I say go to your Twitter account, because you got some great photos of your visit to the national park and of a little friend that you met out there in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Of this monkey who's like, I mean, it looks like he's almost sitting in your lap. It's unbelievable what a close-up you got of him.
It is. You know, we were standing there. It was really funny. We were standing there looking at these monkeys, like almost just a little bit farther than arm's reach away. And all of a sudden, my daughter goes, "Dad, look down." And there are three large raccoons just like almost walking through our legs. So it's that type of thing. And then up in the tree, somebody said, "Oh, there's a three-legged sloth, three-toed sloth right up in the tree above us." So Costa Rica is just an incredible place. Just the biodiversity there is great. And you know, these smaller lines with smaller ships doing this expedition cruising can get you into these places where you can have these wildlife sightings.
You know, it's interesting, too, because that's one of the things that some people tell me is what they don't like about some cruises is they overwhelm some type of, town that they go into. And it's just, you know, there's tourists everywhere at the town because they're all getting off the boat at the same time of these large cruises. But this is a totally different experience when you go on to shore.
It's a very different experience, you know. So there is this big industry uprising about over-tourism in some ports around the world, like Barcelona, Venice, where the locals are starting to feel a little too cramped because of all the tourists. But with this expedition cruising, and especially with smaller ships, most times we were the only ship in port. And with only 200 passengers, you're not overwhelming the destination. And a lot of these, of course, are small towns that aren't typically visited by a lot of tourists. So that makes it more interesting for that reason. And you get a more authentic experience, certainly.
I will tell you two things. First of all, after you explain this to me, I really want to do this bad, one of these cruises, and go into these smaller places. The other thing is I found the picture also of the beach setup in Costa Rica with the white tablecloth. And you are not kidding. It is when you get there at these remote beaches where you're by yourself, the staff is definitely waiting for you there, and they have literally laid out the white tablecloth for you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you're on this Zodiac and they're powering you into the port and you jump out into a few inches of water onto the beach and you know, maybe not much else going on the beach and nothing else. But there's this canopy with the crew waiting for you, with towels and snacks and drinks. So you're not exactly roughing it, but you're getting to see these, off the beaten path destinations.
Okay. Also in the cruise industry, a lot of talk about MSC cruises and how much innovation they're bringing to the cruise lines and they're kind of shaking up the industry a little bit.
They are. You know, they're a relatively new player in North America. They're an established company in Europe, but they're actually the fastest growing cruise company in the world. They have something like 10 ships on order that they're going to be delivered over the next 8 years. And their ships are gorgeous. They're big. They're beautiful. So this is the other end of the scale. These are mega ships. I was just on the MSC Seaside, the inaugural, a couple of months ago. They had held it in Miami. It was this big event. Andrea Bocelli performed, Ricky Martin performed for us, and Sophia Loren actually smashed a bottle of champagne to christen the ship. So it was a big Italian affair, and this company's ethos is all about their Italian and Mediterranean hospitality. And their ships are very different than the other mainstream cruise ships. They're this cutting edge, a chic Italian design, gorgeous design, beautiful, Italian cuisine, of course, really authentic. authentic gelato from Italy. They had a Venci chocolate shop on board with this wall of liquid chocolate streaming down.
Oh my God!
and they have the top deck amusements too. So they have twin zip lines on the top deck, twin racing water slides. But they're one of the best values right now in the Caribbean because they have a very low rates to kind of introduce this ship, which is going to be sailing year round from Miami. But they have a kids sail free promotion where on most cruises, kids 11 and under can sail free with their parents in the same cabin. So they're really value oriented, but I think it's a great value and kind of a little bit of Italy, in our backyard, and you can really experience it that way.
Wow, sounds fantastic. Now, last time you and I talked, you had just gotten back from, I believe you had just gotten back from Havana on a cruise.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. We touched on it just briefly, but, first of all, do you have to have some type of special paperwork or considerations as an American to visit Havana?
You do. So you need a tourist visa that is really issued by the Cuban government. And that's easy to get. The cruise line essentially issues that to you when you board. But there are a lot of rules and regulations and practicalities that govern U.S. visitors to Cuba. And all of those rules and regulations are actually applied by the U.S. Treasury Department. So they want Americans to be on full-time tours. So when you're in Cuba off the ship, for instance, and most lines, by the way, call overnight. So you get, if not a full 2 days, maybe a day and a half and an evening in Havana. And they expect you, or the U.S. Treasury Department expects you, to be on a full-time tour, which is, maybe up to eight hours for a full day, that's sanctioned by the Treasury Department and with an operator that's sanctioned. So your cruise line is the officially sanctioned operator.
Okay.
So you buy your cruises, your tours through the cruise line. But what most people don't know is that when you're back and you fulfilled your 8 hours or 4 hours of required tours, you're free to go out on your own. And that's where the true magic really happened for me and I think for a lot of passengers. So we came back to the ship, just ate really quickly, got back out, and walked around old Havana, historic Havana. So it's just gorgeous. It's this, mix of 17th, 18th century architecture. There's this almost complete lack of consumerism, So no chain shops, no stores, no KFC, no Starbucks, almost no consumerism, which is certainly different than anywhere else Americans get to visit. And music is everywhere. There are clubs, there are bars, and you're just kind of pulled into these places. You hear music as you're walking around the city. It's very friendly, very safe. I felt no animosity or tension from any of the locals. You have to change your money before you go out to these Cuban, they call them cooks, Cuban convertible pesos. But they tell you all about that on the cruise ship, and you do that right in the terminal.
Uh-huh.
But it's just this fascinating cultural immersion that's so different than anything, we have here, certainly, or that American travelers have experienced anywhere else in the world. And also, the cool thing is, no advertising.
Yeah.
So, no advertising. Actually, the only advertising is for the revolution. So, the only advertising you see. But it's really fascinating, and you kind of have to follow some rules, obviously, but it's worth it because Cuba and especially Havana were, the forbidden fruit for us for over almost 60 years.
Yeah.
And now it's open, and it's just fascinating.
I highly recommend it. If you like to travel, a trip to Havana, especially now before all the things that you just mentioned change and other parts of the world start to seep into Havana. I mean, there'll always be Havana, but there's going to be, someday you'll see a Starbucks in Havana or a McDonald's, and it's going to be different.
Right. It is going to be different. So my advice is to see it now. And the best way now to see it is on your cruise ship. So there are certainly hotels in Havana. They're pricey. Their infrastructure isn't necessarily up to what most American travelers expect. The air conditioning doesn't work reliably everywhere. Your shower may not have hot water one day, and other things may not function. So back on your cruise ship, which is your hotel in Havana, you know, you have great food, your air conditioning works, your toilet flushes every time, which is important, and you have warm water in your shower. So you know, intrepid travelers like to stay in places that maybe aren't so comfortable, and that's okay for those people that want it. But for most American travelers right now, the hospitality infrastructure in Cuba isn't up to the standards that most American travelers expect. And so I think right now your cruise ship is the best hotel in Havana.
You know, we stayed at a hotel. I was in Cuba in 2001, I think it was, and we were there on a Goodwill mission. We were playing baseball, actually. And we stayed in one hotel, and it was very, very interesting. It was built during this, you know, the Soviet era in Cuba when there was a lot of influence. And it really hadn't been maintained in a very long time because they just really don't have the currency or the economy to upkeep the infrastructure, as you mentioned. And yeah, that, you know, I mean, it was okay. But I mean, it was like the towels were probably like 30-year-old towels that we were using. And, you know, it shown wear and tear over the years. And like, you would not see a hotel like that in the United States normally for in a tourist area. And so I think a lot of people weren't really prepared for that. And I think your point about staying on a cruise ship there, you know, there is a certain benefit to that.
Yeah, at least for the near future, cruise is the way to go to see Havana, I think.
Also, I want to mention, too, that when you're speaking of Havana, too, that that other countries around the world have had, have had tourists visiting Havana and Cuba for a very long time. You'll find a lot of Europeans and Canadians there. So it's not like closed off to the world. It's just closed off. It was just closed off to the United States.
Right. Absolutely. No, that's a good point. So, and what we saw were mostly Europeans. I saw when I was walking around Havana, certainly on my own, mostly Europeans and a lot of Canadians too. And they've been going to Cuba for years, not only for the historic, old Havana, but to the beach resorts. So there are low cost, all-inclusive beach resorts in Cuba. But Americans can't really visit those. So that's where the U.S. Treasury rules apply. Americans have to be on what's called people-to-people visits. And that is interchange with the people, whether it's cultural, educational, religious. And those are set up by the cruise line. So Americans can't really just go laze on a beach at an all-inclusive for a week in Cuba. The U.S. Treasury Department isn't allowing that. It has to be a people-to-people tour.
Yeah. Also, I saw this on your Twitter account as we kind of switched to something else about the Royal Caribbean, and they have a new – it's like the world's largest cruise ship. And they also have a private island in the Bahamas, Coco Cay.
Yeah.
That thing looks like an amusement park in the middle of nowhere.
It is. So they're just launching their newest ship, Symphony of the Seas, which is the largest ship in the world. That's if people are familiar with some of their sister ships, Oasis of the Seas, Allure of the Seas, it's a sister ship to those, wildly popular. And so most cruise lines have a private island in the Bahamas or in the Caribbean that they only their ships can visit. And Coco Cay is Royal Caribbean's. It's this great place, and they just announced a major redo that they're going to be doing over the next year and a half, spending a lot of money on it, adding water slides, all kinds of great features. So these cruise line private islands are often marked by the passengers as their favorite part of every cruise, you know, their favorite port. The cruise line can kind of control the experience there, and passengers get off, they're safe, they have food there, they don't need to carry around the wallet, there are all the water activities, typically a beautiful beach. So it's this kind of managed private island that is a great beach party for a day for passengers.
Yeah, that's definitely what it looks like. I mean, Disney's been known all for many years of having their private island too. So Well, before I let you go, and you may say, well, MSC is probably the best deal, but is there anybody that's thinking that looking at budget travel right now this summer and maybe a way that they can go to really save a lot of money or pick up some really good deals?
Yeah, so for summer, Alaska is a great option, of course, you know, for people looking to stay close to the U.S. and in the U.S. But early season and late season are where you'll find the best deals. The middle of the season is already pretty booked up based on when I looked a few days ago. So Alaskan cruising is very popular, so the best deals will be found in May or in September. So look for those. And in the Caribbean, for the ships still in the Caribbean, certainly MSC, I think, will be the best value in the Caribbean. And they have a ship there. Their new ship that I spoke about, the MSC Seaside, will be there all summer doing seven-day round trips from Miami. So for those two, you know, I'd recommend those two. In Europe, it's a little bit tough. It tightens up in the summer. You know, it's a very big season and big destination in Europe for European cruising, but there are a lot of ships there. So MSC and Costa, an Italian line, are actually all big, very big in Europe, and they have a lot of ships there. So people looking at the mainstream cruise lines they're familiar with may not see anything. If they don't see anything, they should also think about MSC or Costa cruises as options.
All right, David, always enjoy our visits. I always kind of look forward to our talks. Great stuff. Thank you very much, and happy travels, David.
Thanks, Hawkeye. Great talking to you, as always.
I really want to take that cruise to Costa Rica. All right, that wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks to David for being our guest. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits.